Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 46.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We have our special guest, Derek from Malden, and Derek's beard.
From Hollywood, coming in from Hollywood, California.
That's right. Derek just got off a flight. He's got his sunglasses still on, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that. This morning I put on the TV and it's always on like YouTube. Like we can't figure out the TVs how to operate them.
Yeah.
So it's either on YouTube or
you can only figure out how to be on them. You can't figure out how to change the channels.
It's so ridiculous. Believe me, me and Graz are pretty swift. Like we're pretty smart with this stuff, but we cannot figure out this TV. I don't know if the remote's broken or whatever, but it just does whatever it wants to do. But anyways, it's It was a Casey Neistat video, and he went to Germany and back in like 48 hours to speak at something. I think it might have even been an old video, but it just like goes by hour his day. And it was like I remember seeing it before, but I was just saying like, that would be pretty cool, like just to travel like that, you know? I was like, be like a big deal like that, but... I'm still driving myself everywhere.
I think it would be cool to a point. I think all like I don't care unless you're flying private. Flying still sucks. It doesn't matter.
Oh yeah, like it's just pain.
Unless
in the
you're
ass.
In those like seats that are like a hotel.
Even
room,
with that, though,
like the one he was in,
you still have to go through the airport though.
Yeah,
you still
have
to be
in
an airport.
They have all these lounges and stuff like the one crazy one he was on. With a shower and a bathroom and a bedroom and a living room.
Yeah.
That's better
that
than a
crazy.
Private jet. You to get a private jet to have that much space, it's like you'd have to have a full-size commercial aircraft.
Yeah. But the thing, when I used to work for that very wealthy family, I would take them to this little airport, like, to fly private. And they didn't have their own plane. They would just charter a plane.
Yeah.
But even that, like, there's, you know... Every now and then it would be real smooth. Like if it was domestic, it would be like real smooth. We would literally pull right up to the plane.
Yeah.
Guys would come out of nowhere, take the bags, put them on the plane. They would walk on the plane. And then, you know, it was probably 15 or 20 minutes before they were off.
Yeah.
But if they flew international, when they got back, they still had to go through customs. There would be times where they'd get back and there'd be another family that just got back that had to clear. And it's not like there's 50 customs officers. There's like two guys. So they'd have to wait until that other, you know, person, that other wealthy family who got back from wherever, got through customs. So they would be there for like 2 hours sometimes waiting. And they, you know, it's like, I'm sure they weren't happy about it, but it was still like a pain in the ass. You know, I'm sure it was still a pain. Plus, it's like, I can't even imagine what it costs. I think it's like $40,000 or $50,000 to charter a flight like that, like to go to Florida.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
It is such a pain in the ass. When Samantha was going to school in Philly... We would go down there, and a couple times my in-laws went. They would fly down. We would literally leave the same time. We would drive. We would get there like about an hour after them.
Of course.
Between them having to go to the airport, park the car, go through security, you know, get on the plane, get their luggage, get a rental car, and then meet us. It was like a pain in the ass. Right out of the gate, we're like talking about private jets. Well, this is a private jet channel.
High class.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I've never flown private, but I actually, you know what? I've had an adaptation of that. So I was in one of the islands. I was in like Turks and Caicos, and we were going from the main island to the island that we were staying at, and it was a 12-seater plane, but there was no one else on it.
Yeah, so you just fake it. It's a private jet. That's what I was saying.
It felt like it. But it also felt like this plane may plummet from the sky at any moment.
Well, I flew one of those planes.
Nice.
From Puerto Rico to St. Thomas.
Oh,
they didn't have any
go.
Extra seats, so they put me in the co-pilot seat.
So you're basically a pilot now.
I was basically a pilot. The kid was probably 23 years old flying the plane.
And you were what, like 14?
It was like, yeah, it was like a subsidiary of like JetBlue called Cape Air.
Yeah, yeah,
which was like all these planes.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, that's from Cape Cod.
Yeah, Cape is it really? Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
All these shitty old little propeller planes.
When we went from Ireland to England, we were like on a propeller plane.
Yeah,
and I'm like, these are still a thing.
Yeah,
I'm like holy fuck.
You should.
Dude, I went from Newark
backwards.
I went from Newark to Boston on a propeller plane.
What?
And I was like,
holy
no,
because
I had a train. I was flying back from a BMX trip in Austin, maybe. And I got a transfer at Newark, and I got on a plane with propellers, and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Videotape with your iPhone. Like, they go backwards.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, shit.
This is not scary.
The knobs were all wooden and broken. Like,
dude.
And the kid had
you ever gone skydiving?
No, I haven't.
You ever gone skydiving? I went skydiving at this place on Long Island, and it was so funny. Like, literally what they do is they land on the strip. The plane barely stops. Everyone jumps on the plane, and it takes off. You jump out. It comes down. It does it again. And it literally
Holy
just does
shit.
This all day. And the guy flying this plane looked like he had, like, grown into the seat. He was, like, about 450 pounds.
Oh,
he had, like,
my God.
Sweatpants and sandals
on.
Dude, the plane was such a piece of shit. There was duct tape on the dashboard. You couldn't bring anything up with you. Like, you couldn't take your phone, like, anything. Because, like, some of the places, they put you in a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
But this place, you were just in whatever you showed up in. And we were talking to the – dude, we were talking to the jumpers, because you're hooked to another guy.
Yeah.
And I said to the guys, I'm like, so what happens if someone just won't go? Like, because there are people that get up to the top and they just will not jump.
Yeah.
He goes, we jump without them. And I go, really? I go, why? Just to, like, get another jump under your belt? He goes, no, because I would never want to land in this plane. He goes, if you're going to get, seriously, he said,
oh,
if you're going to have, like, a catastrophic accident here, it's going to be landing this plane. He goes, because that's when the plane will lose a wheel or spin off the runway.
Yeah, yeah, that's when planes crash.
What kind
of like,
operation is this? And it
he goes,
should
well,
be shut
so,
down.
Couple of years
well,
later.
He obviously got a deal on a friggin'.
This kid,
well,
yeah.
The guy's just, but
a
the guy's on. Just, well, no, this was like, there was, so this was so funny. So there was two skydive places on Long Island, right? One was called Long Island Skydiving, and the other one was called Skydive Long Island.
Very original.
I didn't know there were two different places. So I just booked skydiving, and my friends had gone a few years earlier, and they went up in like a military plane with like a big door, and like six people would go up at once, and you would jump out, and that's what I thought I was going to do. So I show up, I do this, and I talk to my friends that did it, and they're like, no, dude, we went to this one, and it was the other one.
This is like the scene from The Office, you know, where they ordered the pizza?
Yes,
they're
yes.
like, did you get pizza by Alfredo or Alfredo's Pizza Cafe?
Yeah.
And then they didn't know which one, and Michael Scott was like, I don't know, I just got Alfredo's Pizza Cafe. And they're like, no, it's the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, by no fault of this place, sadly and tragically enough, someone did die at this place like a couple years later. Because they got caught in a dry pocket of air and just like plummeted to the
what
earth.
The hell
and
does that
the actual
mean?
There was like an upshoot.
Like a thermal.
Like a thermal. They got caught like in a thermal and they spun out and the jumper couldn't control it. The jumper the professional jumper survived, but the guy that was strapped to him didn't make it.
They hit the ground and they survived.
One of the guys survived. I mean, they did. Their parachute opened, but they like spun down to earth, but like in an accelerated rate.
Oh shit!
And I'm pretty sure that place is no longer. So I think now there's only one option to go skydiving on Long Island now. But anyway, the plane was such a piece of shit. I remember being like, "Oh my god!" Like because I was nervous. I was definitely nervous, and I was like, "I'm not landing in this fucking thing. I'm all set."
A couple weeks ago, up at Jimmy's. The gliders from over by your land, they were going up. That's like something else too, man.
I think it's that's like, super dangerous too.
It's like we're watching it and like the plane's like, and then the guy lets it go and it's like the plane's just like, oh, thank God I'm not dragging that glider anymore. But it's like, holy shit, man. I know. It's like the guy's going and we're watching him and he's coming around like circles. Then all of a sudden he like takes off and he's going like away from your place. We're like, dude, go the other way. You're going the wrong way. It's like he did not give a shit.
I don't know how that works. I don't know if you need to get like trained on that or what.
Liars? So.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. You need, you need to have a license.
You do?
I'm assuming to fly. Yeah. That's got to be harder to fly than just a regular plane.
No, but those planes, the gliders, like, have nothing in them. But, like, those other planes, like,
yeah, it's just a casket. It's a flying casket.
Yeah, basically.
You deserve whatever happens to you for getting one of those things.
They look like they're made out of papier-mâché.
Yeah, it looks like a toothbrush flying through there. I mean, it's just some of them have glider little motors that fold out.
Glider plane ride. I got to look and because I wasn't sure. I had actually been under the impression that it was like something that you could kind of just go and do.
And fly yourself? Are you crazy?
I don't know. Dude, when I lived in Vermont, there was another glider airport. Well, actually, now I'm looking. Okay, now I'm looking at a thing that you
ultralight
aircraft. I don't think you need a license. Mm-hmm. But something, I'm sure, I'm sure you guys could go buy a glider and attempt
somebody,
to get
hey, could
up
you
in the
tow
air.
Me up?
The problem is, no one's going to tow you. No one's going to tow you, and no airport's going to let you use it. You know, there's probably some type of glider association or something. Like, they're not going to let it happen.
At the Freehold Airport?
I think if I put
wings on my skid steer, they'd let me fly that side.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I don't know.
I think, what I'm seeing now is, I think when you go up in a glider and the one I'm looking at right now, there's a glider pilot and then there's two seats in the back. So I think you kind of just like, you're just a passenger, but it's the experience is it probably feels like you're in a fighter jet, you know, because you just got the thing over your head. Even that, though, you're going to trust some dude who's been, tired, he's been flying these stupid motorized planes all day.
Yeah, he lives in the Blackthorn in a trailer.
He's like, oh, you guys enjoy it? It's like, I've been going the wrong way. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. Do you know anybody with a car that could come pick us up in Hudson?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's so scary. I'm all
I saw the helicopter was over there. Did
Did
you guys find out what happened?
I think I got killed in a car accident. There was like two car accidents on the news that night. People got killed.
That sucks.
But it was just like a couple of cameramen, their wives were up there, and they couldn't get in touch with them. They were out walking, and they were nervous, but just crazy. It was crazy when you see that thing come in.
Yeah, I've only ever seen it once, been up there however many times.
Loud. So
where did it come in, right next to Jimmy's?
Yeah, right
at the milk run.
We thought the guy was getting takeout. You know, because he heard the food was so
He needed
good.
Fuel. He needed fuel, and he heard that the milk run has cheap fuel.
Yeah, so he went there. They're expanding at the milk run.
Nice. Business is booming over there at the milk run.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're one of the only restaurants within 10 miles of the place, you got to, you know, they're the only game in town. They got a monopoly.
That's right. So, but what have you guys been up to?
The usual stuff.
Yeah.
Railings,
cabanas,
staircases. The beach stuff's all done. I'm working on staircases. I have fish tank stand, railings.
Nice. I saw that. So is that like an old Is that like full circle? Like your old the guy you used to buy the fish from? Like now he's back.
Exactly.
That's very exciting.
You'll be getting another tank.
You're going back into it for sure.
I don't know if I can. Not in this house. I'm not allowed in this house.
Put it in the shop.
No, dude, it's so much work.
Is it? Yeah, but how much time? Think about the amount of time you spend at home versus the amount of time you spend there. You could probably give it more. You could probably give it more attention.
You don't have a good office. The old shop, maybe, but not this one. Yeah. You don't have a nice office.
Yeah, well, if I build, maybe like in the building I build like 5 years from now, it'd be cool to put a tank in there. But I don't know. I got too much stuff I like to do. I gotta relax with all the different hobbies and things. But
that's so funny.
I busted out the wakeboard the other day.
Oh shit! Back on the wakeboard.
Back on the wakeboard.
How's that? How's that feel?
It's good. It's good. In a little different body of water. Photos. I know. I know. We were only on it for a little bit because we were having some boat malfunctions.
Yo, you want to buy a boat? Macklin's got a boat for sale.
No, dude. Forget that. The only thing I would buy is a jet ski. With the boat. I want to buy a Sea-Doo.
Yeah, I had one.
They're pretty cool. Fun. Yeah, they make them so crazy now. They're like 300 horsepower. They go 0 to 60 in 2 seconds.
Yeah, the only thing that sucks is like you have to. You're gonna wind up on the qualified captain. I know. But like you got to have a friend that has one, so you have somebody to ride with.
Yeah,
and it's like it's only fun for like a half hour, 45 minutes, and it's like that's you need a property where you can just ride it from the beach and go out and, you know, do your thing. And, you know, when I had mine, it was fun, but it gets old.
My friends have, the reason why I was wakeboarding is they just bought a house on the Housatonic River, which is not too far away from my shop. So they bought a boat and we went wakeboarding there. But it'd be cool. Like I could take it right there, and then I could take it to like Fairfield Beach, and just, you know, dump it off in the water. I think it'd be fun, but you know, I got other things I want to buy. I got a whole list of toys on my wish list. Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like you made up your mind. What color did you buy?
I didn't buy anything yet, but I don't know. Maybe next summer.
Yeah, it's fun.
Just get the toys.
As I say, get the toys before you have kids, and you know.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, for the most part, I've always kicked myself when I've been like, oh, I really wish I had one of these. You know, I mean, with tools, I just go and get one. But like with the motorcycles, when I had the motorcycles, I was like, oh, I want a bigger bike.
Did you sell all of them?
I haven't sold any of them yet. I haven't had the time.
Just keep one. Jesus Christ.
I might keep the Enfield. Yeah. The other thing is the Enfield's going to be really hard to sell because I'm going to need to find like the perfect buyer. Like yesterday or Sunday. Yes, what's today? Yeah, yesterday when I picked up all that steel, if you guys saw on my Instagram, there was when I pulled up, there was a Ram Promaster in the driveway of the shop with like Triumph stickers on it. I'm like, who the hell is here? So I go in and I meet this guy who like builds choppers and whatever, and he loves like British bikes. I'm like, dude, I have a 59 Enfield that I'm looking to sell. He's like, I'm all set. He's like, I got enough projects. I'm like, it's not really a project. He's like, I'm all set. He's like, I buy like barn bikes. I'm like, so if you don't give a shit about it, like, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to start with the Harley because that'll be gone in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, you know, buy that.
And the Suzuki will also be gone in 2 seconds because some kid in Brooklyn or Queens that wants like a small, like get around bike, that thing will be gone.
Yeah.
And right there, I could probably do pretty well, you know. The price of motorcycles has gone up. It's crazy, dude. I look on Facebook Marketplace. When I bought that Harley, I paid like $2,100 for it, and that was like, I mean, I guess I got it for a good deal. The guy was negotiable, but it was pretty cheap. Now, like, any Sportster is, like, almost $4,000.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, just like everything else. Everybody wants to buy shit that's
fun. Yeah,
yeah. Everybody's afraid they're going to die.
It's really gone up. Everything's gone up in price. So I'm going to list it and see what I get. You know, it's a perfect, like, there's nothing wrong with it. Perfect running bike and, like, super fun.
I always enjoyed my snowmobile.
Snowmobile seems fun. I've never had a snowmobile.
But, then you gotta live in Vermont or something.
No.
My brother-in-law. What the hell am I gonna do with a snowmobile?
My brother-in-law every weekend drives up to Pittsburgh, I think. Is it Pittsburgh, New Hampshire? Like way up.
Mm-hmm.
Way up. Like,
there's a couple of towns that are really snowmobile like friendly. I just learned about this.
Yeah, it's crazy. Dude, we would go. It's like a whole other world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the restaurants, it's like snowmobile parking
lot. That's pretty cool, actually. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
I like when they put them on the back of, like, the trucks. They have those platforms for, like, like a pickup truck. You drive them right up on there. Like, that's pretty sick.
My brother-in-law goes with, like, 10 other guys. And I went with them once, and they're, like, hardcore. But they go up in, you know, all the old logging trails are all... Mm-hmm. You know, you can go 100 miles an hour down these trails. They're so wide. You know, that's how all these guys get killed on them. You know, they're not like up New Hampshire like Southern New Hampshire, they're just small trails, but up there it's all logging roads, and yeah, you just go forever.
This guy that I work with, he lives in New Jersey, so he's like, you know, at least like an hour further south than me, right? And yeah, he was like, every weekend he's like, oh, I'm going up on the sleds this weekend. So there's a place, I think it's in New York, it's called Old Forge.
Yeah.
Old Forge, New York, I guess, maybe. And it's like a snowmobile like town. So there's, he's part of like a, you join like a club and you pay like dues, and the dues basically pay for, they get a snowcat and it will groom and maintain, you know, thousands of miles of trails, or maybe not thousands, hundreds of miles of trails. And he's like, yeah, you're up there and you're like out all day. You stop and get gas, you go get lunch, you go all around, and like, that's just cool. What you do up there.
Oh, yeah. My brother, he'll do like 700 miles on a weekend.
Yeah.
They go out like literally 12 hours. They're gone.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
They're hardcore.
And like he was telling me, because like Matt's really into it too. Like Matt and his girlfriend will go up to New Hampshire and shit. And I never knew anything about this. And then this guy, his name is Justin, he did a trip in Canada where they like drove to the border and then like basically just traveled for days on their snowmobiles. Yeah. Like they would go to a hotel, stay at the hotel, leave their snowmobiles were outside or whatever.
That's a big thing. Yeah, yeah. You can go, if you go, because that's the problem. Like Southern New Hampshire, you know, a lot of times the snow, it's not enough snow, but if it's enough, you go up the Northeast Corridor all the way up to Canada. Mm-hmm. But that's what a lot of people do. They'll park somewhere, dump their snowmobiles, and then they'll take their snowmobiles away for the weekend, and they'll go, you know, 150 miles, stay at a hotel, then, you know, go again, and like make like a triangle or whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what this guy was telling me.
Especially
like,
now, the machines now are so nice.
I'm sure they're sick.
Yeah,
I had one
that
was like a racing
too.
One.
I love
the way they
look.
But they're just, yeah, even like the like touring type ones are just real fast as hell. You know, before you used to have to pick, you want something fast, you want something comfortable.
Mm.
You know, like they didn't have anything for, you know, to cross pollinate it. Now it's like you have whatever the hell you want if you got 20 grand, you know.
Speaking of things like that, I saw a crazy YouTube video of two guys. They were like kind of like 40, 50 year old guys. Drove jet skis from Connecticut all the way to Florida. It was insane.
it took them four days. In the inlet or in the ocean?
Partly in the ocean, and then partly in that whole, like, what is it called? Like the intercoastal
waterway system. Yeah, that's how my boss used to get his boat down to Florida. It's pretty cool. You go through all the locks and shit.
That's crazy.
Cool.
I never knew that existed until like a year ago. I heard about it. I'm like, whoa. You could travel like most of the way there without even being in the ocean, like all the way to Florida.
Yeah.
But they did that. It was crazy. I mean, these guys were flying. And so they were like, had it pinned at like 60, 70 miles an hour when they could on open, like flat water. But then in the ocean, like they were getting hammered with waves.
Dude, it's so rough. It's
near New Jersey, like when they couldn't go through the intercoastal waterway. Like, and they were kind of out in the open ocean. It was like, I would not want to be stuck out there for a couple hours.
Even, like, you go to, like, these lakes, like Lake Winnipesaukee. I had mine. And I would never take it out on the weekends. It would be so rough because just between everybody out there making waves and then the wind starts kicking up in the waves, it's like, it's no fun, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Your body takes
a beating on the things.
You could get CT. You could get brain damage too from jet skis. I swear to God, no, people get brain damage.
I believe it.
Because they say the more common cause for like CTE is not like getting knocked out like really hard once. It's like constant, repetitive, just jostling of your brain. So like if you go jet skiing like all the time for years, like, you could get like brain damage, I guess, like especially if you're on bumpy water, you know. Maybe if you're out in the open ocean and you're going fast, you know.
Yeah, so I'm definitely gonna have CTE.
Well, all your BMX, you got concussed like 20 times, right?
11.
Dude, maybe this is what your
this
your
is it
tool hoarding problems stem from.
Could be.
That's what you could blame it on, Angela. I have a mental health issue. It's diagnosed. I have to have all these anvils. That's why I have to order these Chinese anvils.
Dr. Pinto.
Yeah, I just diagnosed you.
Mm-hmm. You guys get any new tools this week? Derek hasn't been getting any new tools.
No,
this is bullshit.
No, I was excited. I brought the Capex home and I hooked it up. And
nice.
I was so happy. Do you know that thing has variable speed?
Mm-hmm. Whoa, really?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So excited. I felt like I should have sent Keith more money.
I don't know the application of variable speed on that. Or my track saw has variable speed too. I'm like, why would I want to slow it down? What the fuck? I don't. I mean, it's a cool thing. Don't get me wrong. I just don't like. I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, what the fuck do I need that for?
Yeah, I like that it has the laser on both sides of the blade.
Mm.
Oh,
but
that's
the one
cool
thing I didn't realize is you have to buy special blades for it.
That's how they get you.
There's a
they're like an odd size.
I think there's a. Like a shim that somebody makes that you can put on it to use regular, because it's a metric size blade, but I think Arbor.
I just bit the bullet and bought it. I'm like, you know what? They suck, but whatever.
Yeah. That's, I mean, once you're in the Festool world, that's it. They don't let you leave. Once you're there, it. You're in it.
No,
I'm surprised I'm surprised they even make like a 4 and a 5 inch sander, and it's not like 4 3/16 or some
bullshit like that. I know.
Where they just like hook you in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, even like their vacuum ports, like they only are conducive to their vacuum, you know? Like,
if
you try to put like a regular shop vac on it, you need like 17 adapters, you know?
Yeah.
You're heating one up with a heat gun to try and melt it and squeeze it into like, I've done that. Like, I had one of their hoses. That I tried to use for, I forget what, because I have a Festool router and I tried to use the hose for something else or hook it up to a shop vac, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
They gotcha.
They gotcha, that's right. There's a guy on Instagram that you guys might follow, IG Design LA, I think is what it's called. He's a pretty talented dude. I think he owns his own, I don't know if it's his or... he's a general contractor, kind of like maker dude. He does all sorts of shit. He's always like, it seems like every day he's got something different. Like he'll be doing like stonework and he'll be doing steel work. And he does a lot of stuff in Los Angeles in what looks like a lot of commercial, but, anyway, he was doing a thing where I guess for a time you could buy the Festool cord end. You know how it has like the thing that you can plug the cable in so that you don't need to unplug the tool. You just unplug the cable from the tool and switch tools.
Yeah.
So he like when he buys new tools, he goes on eBay and buys the little Festool end and cuts the cord off of his tools and puts the Festool little like it's like a cord this long.
That's
so really.
It's like $50 a cord though.
Oh,
so like if you buy a tool for $100, you'd now got to spend another $50 on the thing. But I guess if it's, you know, part of your workflow, it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
There's a name for it. I don't remember what the name of the Festool connect
thing.
Qualified
thing. Captain to jet ski accident popped right up. The first thing I saw.
Of course. Dude, I was selling to Macklin the other day because he's, you know, like he's trying to sell this boat. And I you know, he's like, oh, you know, like
Carolina squat boat?
Yes, the Carolina squat boat. He was like, oh, you know, like I took it out. It's been like in storage, you know. And he's like, I took it out. I like hook water up to the motor and it just started right up. He goes, it made me want to keep it. I go, dude, I've been watching a lot of Qualified Captain and I feel like just putting a boat on a trailer in the water, you have like a 1 in 5 chance of losing your car. Cause like, like I see these videos every day. There's like 10 fucking cars in the water because, and Macklin was explaining it to me. He's like, dude, sometimes it's just because you don't realize how slippery the ramp is.
Yeah.
And as soon as you start backing down the ramp, he goes, sometimes your car will just slide into the water. And he goes, you could be a totally experienced like boat launcher and it'll just happen to you. And I'm like, why would I want that additional risk in my life? Like, oh, let's lose my car. You're like, let's lose like, you know, a $40,000 to $75,000 thing so that I can take my fucking Carolina squat boat out, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
No thanks.
You gotta
so much
if you're gonna
bullshit.
Do boats, you gotta do it right. You gotta be making a ton of money, you gotta get a beautiful new boat. Keep it at a marina, all nice and taken care of. Forget even, unless you're in some big yacht, forget the ocean. because that's not even enjoyable unless you're in something 70 plus feet. Otherwise, you're just bobbing around out there getting seasick. But if you're on a lake, you got to get one of those nice wake boats, and those are like 150 grand to like start. Yeah. That's where they start. So it's
but
like
even that,
you'll never see me in a boat unless I'm really making a lot of money.
But even that, my boss has all the money that you could ever want. And he had a $380,000 boat. He still, like, every weekend, he'd be like, oh, I was down. Like, I had to work on this. Oh, I had to, like, fix this. Or, oh, we, you know, like, and he
it's constant problems.
He could have anybody do anything, but he was still, like, constantly dealing with it. Like, it's not like he got to go down. Like, it would have been better money spent if he just chartered a boat on a Saturday.
That's what you got to like, do,
You know?
That's you could get a bigger, nicer boat with a crew to take care of you, you know? What kind of, like, was it a big, like, was it a yacht?
No,
like a sport
it was
fishing
like,
boat, like one of those.
It was like kind
of
like a cruising boat. I thought I had showed you guys what it looked like. I don't remember.
Yeah, I seen it.
Yeah, it was a night like it could sleep. I think four people. Like it had like a master suite and it had like a little room and it was a nice boat. But like I just couldn't believe how much like work it needed. And it also like it was more of a traditional kind of boat where it had a lot of teak. So like he did like he had all the teak sanded and redone. It all needed to be recaulked and you know, but I mean like this guy like kind of money's like no object for him and it's still I felt like he was always dealing with this thing in a less than pleasurable way. It wasn't just like oh I'm just gonna take the boat out this week.
Yeah.
And I think those kind of people like you know obviously he enjoyed doing it otherwise he just wouldn't have done it. But it still was like I was like damn dude you got this you know $400,000 boat and it's you still got to do all this shit to it like oh my god
my father-in-law had two boats and you know he always used to say like you got to have two so you got one that's like always runs you know
but, like, that's how I am with motorcycles
he never had like one of them was like a 24-foot Lassen and like he never had a problem with that boat and you know like the last couple years he started to have a couple issues with it. And one was, like, this odd issue we could not figure out. It just wouldn't start. It was, like, dead. It was, like, disconnected. No, you know, tried new ignition, everything. But, you know, he just got rid of that because of health reasons. But then he had a 1972 Century Resorter that's just a beautiful boat. And I believe he still has that. He had one, you know, growing up, and he sold it. And he was so pissed he bought another one, the same type, different color. And he... you know, hanging on to that one, and it's nice. It's just like a 17-foot, you know, water skiing boat, inboard, you know, 300 horsepower. It's like 288 horsepower, I think it is. It's got a straight six in it, and the thing just goes like a mother. It's just so nice. Four passenger, beautiful boat. And I said to Christina, I said, if he ever sells that, I think I might buy it just for the sake of having it, you know, like I have no business owning it because you just really have to have it on a quiet lake. You can't take it out in any type of waves or anything, you know. It's just too, you know, it's just too small, you know. But, man, it goes like a mother. It's got through-hull exhaust, loud as hell. It's just fun to go on, you know.
Yeah.
This boat that my boss had, and I probably even talked about it on this, like he was having it brought down to Florida, and he paid a like I guess a crew or a transport or whatever, a captain to take it down, and not drive it to actually like not tow it to drive it in the intercoastal, and on its way to North Carolina, on its way into port, one of the motors, it was a Yanmar motor, blew the piston rod right out the side. I think I showed Derek pictures of it. I mean, this motor looks like someone put a grenade in it.
Oh my God.
It was blown to shit. It was a magnesium case. It was blown up so bad, it looked like someone sledgehammered this thing.
Jesus
and I asked him when I saw it, because it's funny enough, he wound up selling the motors. So I actually saw the damaged motor when it was out. And I said, did they like bang this up, getting it out of the boat? He's like, no. He goes, this is exactly what it looked like when it blew up. The thing was destroyed. But he spent like a lot of money. I won't say how much, but like tens of thousands of dollars putting new motors in this boat. And it took like weeks because it's all got to be recalibrated and it's, you know, this and that and gauges. And I'm
Forget it.
Oh my God, like just sink that fucking thing, you know, just like at that point, just collect insurance money on it. Like, oh my God.
Can I ever tell you guys about my father's boat?
Oh boy.
It Paul went Sr.'s exactly boat. The same way as the motorcycle went.
What, one trip and then he was, that was it?
Yeah, about three trips they did. Each one was like a different disaster. From getting stuck out in the pitch black with no lights after the fireworks. That was like one of the first disasters.
Oh my God.
They had to go all the way like a couple towns over in the dark following like the lights on the shore to try and get back in. They had no clue what they were doing. It was a freaking like fountain speed. You know those cigarette boats?
Yeah.
It was like one of those. Like thing goes 70 miles an hour. Like just totally stupid. Then they took it across to Long Island, I think. I think they might have went to like Port Jeff or something.
What, did it never make it back?
They freaking pull it into the dock, right? There, you could like keep it there for the day. They come back, it's low tide. The whole side got scraped by a rusty bolt sticking out of one of the out of the dock. Scraped the whole side. They had to get the whole thing repaired. And I think they hit somebody or something. Like they hit another boat. I think they went on the thing three times. They sold the thing.
Yeah. That sounds about right. That's what it's unfortunate because they're not as easy to control and ride.
Oh, you know? Dude, like, they're hard.
Every time,
I'm sure it's way harder.
Like my father-in-law, so like his inboard, like you go forward fine. You cannot back up an inboard. It's just, you know, the rudder's in the middle, like in the middle underneath, and it's just it's a nightmare. So this, that boat I wouldn't like take. But then his other boat I take out all the time.
What is it, like an inboard outboard?
And we would have to dock it, and at the time he had a house on the river, so like if you had like one shot of getting it in, if not you were going down the river backwards, you know. And it was like he was like the second to last house on the river before you hit a dam, and it's like the kids would be like, "Dad, calm down and I'd be freaking out at the kids. I'd be like, "Max, you gotta grab the dock, you know, don't, you know." But I couldn't bang the dock because, you know, he's the guy that, you know, washes and waxes his backhoe, you know what I mean?
So yeah, everything was
pristine. So it just is so much fucking stress. I could take that thing out for 10 minutes and I'd have to put $150 worth of gas in the thing. It's like,
that's the other thing.
No matter what, like, that's what people, my brother-in-law, I got video, right? My brother-in-law has three 300 horsepower engines on the back of his boat. He's got a center console, right? He had this thing full bore going up Winnipesaukee, and it was using like...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
3 gallons a minute.
Oh my God.
Dude, can you imagine? And, you know, he's got a boat business, so he don't give a shit. He'll just get a couple engines. He'll throw it on his own. But I think it was two or three? I can't remember, but I remember just being like, oh, my God. But, you know, that's what you want. You want a good friend that has
a
boat.
That's
you know?
It.
And that's more fun than anything, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's why you got to go with the cars.
Yeah. It's a lot.
I'm a car guy.
Turned into a boating channel, from a cooking channel to a boating
channel. We hit all subjects. Everything is making things. I'm working on for 5 minutes. I tell you, I'm doing some railings. You guys go, and great. And then we talk about random railings. Shit. Yeah.
Yep.
That's
I was just going to say
the
you were.
Whole, you know, podcast. We barely talk about making anything, which I'm fine with because.
Yeah, it's fine.
We got other people.
I always apologize.
We talk about all the other dorks we follow like on laughing. Instagram. You know, we get enough of them.
Right. What I was going to say, Derek, was one of the things that my boss's boat had that he was like was part of the listing was a little, I guess, motor so that it could spin. There was a name for it, like a specific name.
Was it like an isopod or something?
I don't remember, but he was like, and then I was helping him like try to sell it and just basically like make the listing. There was a video of it spinning, and he was like, "We have to put that in the listing because that's like super important." But I got one more funny boat story before we move on to another unrelated topic. But my a friend of mine, his dad was a like very wealthy lawyer, and they grew up. You know, he's from the North Shore of Long Island, and you know, so you buy a boat, and he bought a big ass boat. And it was sat at the marina like forever. Like he never even took it out. They would hang out on it, but they never took it out. the first time they took it out, he hit like five or six other boats just trying to get it out of the marina, to the point where they stopped him and towed him back. Like a guy, no, I'm sorry, they didn't tow him back. They stopped him and someone else jumped on the boat and drove it back and said, "You're not allowed to take this boat out again until you learn how to drive it," because it was so like, they didn't give a shit. Like, you know, he was damaging his boat, but he was, I think he was hitting the piers. So he was really only hurting himself, but they were like, "You're just destroying this thing and we just can't." It was like listening to someone like grind the gears on a Ferrari, you know? And
it's like, it doesn't have brakes. It, you know, backing up, it's a pain in the ass. Fuck that. It's so much work, man.
It's like driving on ice.
It'd be so stressful.
Yep. It's like driving a car on ice. It's like, it's, you're like kind of going in the direction collision, you think. You know? Yeah.
I would just sweat it. It'd be like, let's get to the sandbar before everybody gets there. Then we'd get there. And
this is another one of Derek's dilemmas. Oh my God. This is the next TV show I'm going to start. I'll be the producer. It's just going to follow Derek around.
Dad, let's play at the sandbar. We go, there's everybody there. It's like driving a fucking boat. You're going to drive over somebody, kill them, you know? And then Max, oh, there's a spot back there, Dad. Let's go back there. It's more fun. It's like, screw that, dude. Now I got to weave and bob and weave. And we throw the anchors out in the sandbar. And I spent 4 hours just repositioning anchors because the wind's blowing the boat. It's like, I couldn't win.
This is the next show I'm going to produce.
It's just a nightmare. It's just shoot me, you know? But thank God. It's like now he's an adult. He can go buy his own boats. And
he can go sink his own boat.
Yeah.
Max is the one who always wants the boat.
Yeah. No, well, they all wanted to go out on it, but it was a pain in the ass. So then, you know, you're driving the boat around. Now we need gas, so now I got to go into the dock. And, you know, there's a line of boats waiting. Dad, let's go out for lunch. Okay, now there's no parking spots because everybody takes all the outside parking spots because nobody else knows how to drive their boat. So you got to park it in the front, and it just sucks. It's just, my life was never easy. That's why it's just easy just go in the shop and just make something.
Yep.
Yeah, and then that's another whole other dilemma.
Oh, well, that's I get phone calls about that.
That's just, so many people message me. They're like, dude, you've been gone for 3 weeks. You go home and you go down your basement and hang down there. I was like, it's best for everybody.
Of course. You know? When I'm away, when I come back, I just, like, usually walk around my shop for 2 hours and do nothing. Because I'm like, oh, like, I'm just back.
What am I going to do? Just sit there and talk, me and my wife talk to each other about the plants or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know. She can come down to the shop and talk to me if she wants.
I was just talking to somebody about how, like, what's, like, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the shop. Like, what would a day off look like? Like, what, like, this weekend I worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Angela was working, and I literally, as soon as I got up, I came downstairs, I checked an email, closed my laptop, put it in my bag, and that was it. I was gone for the rest of the day. Like, didn't come home. I went to the shop, or I went and picked up, like, worked.
I think those are, like, the people that have, like, the nice manicured lawns and stuff like that. That's their thing, you know?
But yeah.
That was just never my thing. That's, like, you know, like, my back hall. Like, for 5 years, it's needed to be painted. It's like, you know what? I don't want to paint my back hall. It's not fun.
Fuck that.
You know, I'll hire somebody else to do it.
Do something fun and make enough money to pay someone else to do it.
But then I'm too cheap to pay somebody because I was like, oh, I could do it myself.
Yeah. Well, it's all.
It's been probably about 8 years.
Yeah. Well, ask Angela about the laundry room that I started last year. Yeah. During COVID, I turned a closet into a laundry room. I got the washing machine hooked up, working, framed, drywalled, taped, spackled, done. Yeah. Didn't finish it. Never trimmed it, never painted it. But listen, the washer and dryer works, and that's enough.
Next time you come to my house and you look where my washer and dryer is in that closet, actually, I think it is painted now, but for 20 years it wasn't painted.
Yeah.
It's like, why bother? You can't see it anyways behind the washer and dryer.
My
life calls me Mr. 80%.
Yeah. My mom says nothing gets fixed, nothing gets finished.
Yeah.
That's her thing. And
you need to leave a little something, because if it's done, then people can get nitpicky and be like, oh, that's crooked. If it's not done, you just say, oh, I'm not done with it.
I'll
finish it, you know?
My dad had this. We like still talk about it to this day because we still have it. This roll of white tape. It was like 2-inch white, like almost paper tape. And when he bought it, the roll was about 24 inches big. He got it at like a dollar store. It was the biggest roll of tape you've ever seen. And I remember it from my childhood, this massive roll of tape, because I would like have to reach my arm over it to carry it like a, you know, like a like a bundle. And anytime something was like fucked up in the house, but it needed to be fixed like that day, he would use the white tape. So like just up until up, and then we still have the roll. It's about this big now. And it's like a, like, you know, this like heirloom after his death. So in my, in the bathroom,
so they
in the house,
only use it for the best projects. That
dude, and
don't
and you know what the
finished.
The worst part about it, because I thought it was like, I thought maybe it was like gaffer's tape. It leaves the most horrific residue when you peel it off. It's fucking horrible, this tape. So there's a bathroom fan in my mom's house, and my mom's bathroom has a vaulted ceiling, and it's really, really high. So we, you like can't even get to it. So like if the light bulb would go out, it would be out for, you know, 2 years, you know, because nobody would like want to go up on the ladder to get to it. So she just had the bathroom painted, and when she had it painted, she had the painters take it down. The bathroom fan had 4 different layers of white tape because it was falling. So my dad would, every time it would fall, he would just put another, like the next boundary, shingles. Yeah, so he had like shingles of white tape. So the bathroom fan was taking up like 24 inches in either direction. And the tape had made like a gusset, like almost like a rubber boot. And it was like, you know, this is the legend of the white tape. It finally took it down and finally got it fixed.
It's so funny. We had a thing of wasn't like twine, but like string at my house. It was like that. It was in this big junk drawer. And whenever we need to tie something up, we had it. And it's like, it was like on a, like a spool, and I remember like the thing lasted forever. I think when my mother moved, we finally like threw it out, but it was like the same idea. Everything got tied up with that thing. It was like the never-ending thing of string, you know. But that's funny.
Yeah, that's the funny. The roll of white tape, that, and we also had he absconded a one of those rolls of the white twine from Home Depot. You know, that's in like the orange. You know, the orange thing. Yeah. So one day we're in the Home Depot parking lot. One of those rolls happened to make it out to the parking lot, so it wound up in the car. But it was, you know, it was about, it could probably fit in a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
And he like, he loved like tying shit. He'd be like, "Oh, go get the string." Like we can't, and we could never buy anything else. We had to just use that freaking roll of white twine. I'm like, oh my god, I still have it.
It drives me crazy though. When I was just home, I'm getting ready to leave. And I got everything packed up the night before because I just want to do this graduation and just leave. Mm. You know, we went to dinner the night before. So right before I leave, Christine's like, "I think we need to buy a new dryer, a new washer and dryer. The dryer's not working again." And what's it not doing?
Like, this is last night?
This, right before I leave. So I go, "What do you mean it's not working? Like, is it not coming on?" She's like, "No, I got to like hit dry like 3 times." I go, "The vent is plugged." I was like, we do this every 9 months to a year. Like, the lint just, like, because it's up on the second floor, so stylings will go in there. So it has a cage over it, and the lint that doesn't get caught by the filter goes out the pipe, gets clogged in the thing. So I'm like, "Christina, I got to go. Like, I don't want to do this." She goes, "I'm going to hire somebody to fix it." I says, "Who do you call to fix that?"
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not paying some guy. She goes, "You gotta call your friends and get a number of a handyman." I says, "They're gonna give you my number. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be the guy that they're gonna say to call." I said, "I'm not paying somebody $200 to fix this fucking thing." So I gotta go up on a ladder yesterday before I leave, clean the thing, and I'm just like, I need a guy. Like, I need somebody I can call.
Send Max up there.
You know, it's funny.
Sake.
I was Max. You wouldn't know which way to climb up a ladder to get to the top. That kid, you ever see his hands?
No.
His hands are as soft as the day he was born. That kid,
poor
has
Max.
Beautiful hands. Beautiful hands. He has nice hands, my son. But, he couldn't figure out how to climb a ladder if his life depended on it.
The house is on fire.
And that works. That's it. You know what? It's funny you said that. His car is half blocking the driveway. I tell them, if they come home late at night, don't park down the street, just half block the driveway. You know, so there's no car out in front of my house, and his car's blocking the driveway, and he goes out and he doesn't move it, and it's like, so now it looks like totally out of place because there's no cars there. I call him up. I says, I'm with Olivia. I go Max, you know, she doesn't, I says that idiot didn't move his car. I said, I can't believe he just walked by. She's just sitting there laughing. I'm gonna call him and see what this idiot's doing, you know? She goes, he goes, oh, I didn't park it there.
What?
I go, Max, if the house was on fire and you didn't light it on fire, would you not put it out? He goes, well, Olivia parked the car there. So now I'm like looking at her and she's laughing like, boy. Did I just screamed at him, you know? But I was like, you know what? Can't you guys do anything? Like, I got to move the car now in a proper parking spot. It's like, but he is mowing the lawn, so I'm happy about that.
That's
I will
good.
Never mow the lawn again. That's going to be his new job. So
that's like leaving the trash cans out. Like, I'll never forget this. My friend...
I don't want to talk about the trash cans.
My friend, a girl that I'm friends with, was dating this guy, and he was fucking useless, this guy. He was a musician, and I'll never forget, he used to talk about how tired he was at the end of the day. He was a drummer. And he'd be like, oh, I've been practicing all day. I'm exhausted. I'm so physically and mentally drained. I'd be like, dude, I like... dug holes, put up crown molding in the sun, came back, did this. I'm like, dude, you're tired? What? Like, and this guy, he used to watch my friend, who was his girlfriend, like shovel the driveway. And he'd be like, oh, I'm really tired from practicing today, so I can't help you. And I'll never forget, one day, he like stood with his hands in his pocket while she like dragged the garbage to the curb. And I was like, this guy is fucking useless. Like, you got to get rid of this dude. You got to drop him. Like any like adult person that can be like that tied up in like their own exhaustion and that like self-centered to be like, oh, well, I'm so tired. Like, I can't help you. Like, you're not too tired that you can't pull in a fucking garbage pail from the street, especially for your girlfriend. That. I mean, you know, gender roles aside, it could be for anybody. You know, it could be for any person.
I'm
like,
older than you. A woman shouldn't be doing that. My wife shouldn't be touching
absolutely
trash.
Not.
Especially when she has a healthy 18-year-old son. He should be doing it.
Yep.
We torture
just,
my
that
father.
That shit drives me crazy.
Like, me and my mother, my sister. I mean, you don't even know what we do to this guy. My mother makes him, speaking of garbage cans. Now, you know, you can only imagine the amount of trash my mother produces. We have three garbage cans, three full-size garbage cans, and a full-size recycling can.
I'm surprised you guys don't have just a container in
the
driveway.
End of the week,
like a full-size container.
By the end of the week, they're completely overflowing. Like, the garbage men must be like, is there a family of 18 living in this house?
Yeah.
But she makes him, because she doesn't like the way the garbage can's out visible, bring them around the garage and down the steps. And we sit there, me and her, in the kitchen and listen to him smash.
He's wrestling them.
He's wrestling him, smashing them down the stairs. And we just laugh. It's like part of our enjoyment. It's just, she makes him do shit, like, just because it's funny. Like, we have no idea what goes on in this
house.
Sick. It's just...
That's what Christina, she's so obsessed with trash, because like Malden, you have to pay to buy the bags, and then like recycling, they're so strict. They check your recycling, and if you put anything that doesn't belong in there, they won't take it, and they give you like a notice.
What kind of bags do you have to use? Like just clear bags?
No, at the supermarket, you have to buy bags. So, like,
recycling bags?
Shop. No, regular trash bags. They're $2 a bag. You buy either kitchen bags or the blue City of Malden bags. Yeah, go look
really?
It up.
And that's for the recycling?
Is it because the bags are biodegradable or something?
No. It's their pay-as-you-throw program. A lot of cities now are doing it, Massachusetts. So then
that's those liberals.
Voted.
Communists.
Those
fucking socialists.
That's AOC right there.
But
Bernie's bags.
We voted to overturn it, and they're like, "Oh, not enough people voted to overturn it. Like, we're gonna keep it." So now they just went to like trash barrels, but then you buy a tag so you don't have to buy the bags anymore. You can use your own bags. So they're like the trash barrels that the trash truck can pick up. Like every city has now. You see, and then the recycling single stream. You don't have to separate it anymore. So I don't have to listen to her about that. But of course, she still separates it. But the barrels, they're so small you can't even fit two bags in them. They're the regular ones you see everybody has, but they're tiny. So like just two kitchen bags fit in them, and then you have to buy another tag, which is like $200 to put on your trash barrel. So it's like that's all I listen to.
Dude, that's the reason people go behind, like, the supermarket and throw their garbage in, like, the ravine. That's fucking ridiculous.
Everybody was throwing their trash out in front of the mayor's house.
That's awesome.
But it's like, you know, she's always like, I'm trying to throw out the old recycling bins and they won't take them. I'm like, Christina, just call them. Like, I'm in New York. Like, I don't want to hear about the recycling bins. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's just obsessed with the recycling. She's like the best recycler I know. But
yeah, we do single stream recycling here.
I throw everything out. I don't care.
Well, single stream recycling is supposed to be where you just put everything. Like, you don't have to sort. Yes. You just put anything that's recyclable. And
Well, Malden, what they were doing, they made you separate it, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't always have enough trucks to do it. So if they didn't, they would send a regular trash truck, and they would take everything and dump it into a regular trash truck and throw it out. So people were getting pissed. They're like, you know, I got to separate everything, and then you guys don't take it. But I know it's good for the environment, but, man, there's got to be an easier way.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just watching a thing about, like, about – more like the sanitary issue of the flushable wipe.
Oh, God.
Have you ever read about about that? About how, like, it's just not a thing. It's not possible. There is no way to have a flushable wipe.
Flushable
wipes have destroyed... I think it's Australia. Flushable wipes have, like, destroyed Australia's sewage system and, like, caused huge, like, marine...
How many
issues
are we down to now?
I think we have like two people
Dude,
listening
we're talking
still at this
about
point.
Flushable Keith, wipes.
Keith Decent and who else?
Jeff. Jeff is still listening. Jeff, we want to thank
you.
Jeff, we want to thank you personally, each of us, for listening still to this point. But yeah, no, it's like it's great. All this shit that we try to do to make things better. What the fuck?
Jeff and Jimmy. Two listeners.
Yeah, Jeff and Jimmy. That's right. Jimmy texted me the other day. He goes, LOL, let me see a picture of the chain mortar. Oh, that was in the group chat. He goes, LOL, let me see a picture of the chain mortiser. I'm so upset that he canceled my chain mortiser order. That son of a bitch.
Did you really think it was going to show up? It's a $2,000 machine. You're like, oh, dude, I'm getting it for $200. They're shipping
it
from Japan. It's like, it doesn't add up.
If you go on eBay, there's probably 50 all that say free international shipping, and they all range from, like, I'll be honest, they all start around $500, so mine for $280 maybe was a mistake.
Yeah.
But I was really disappointed. But then I found out later that the chains for those are $300 each, the replacement chain. So if you buy one for $500 with a bum chain, you got to spend another $300.
Yeah, I gotta post this still. This
what
was
do you
a,
have?
This was a thing I seen the other day. This was at my buddy's place. I'm gonna post this. I can't. It was a Vice, but I couldn't post because I couldn't get on Instagram. I'm gonna post it after this.
But yeah, I was very upset about my chain mortiser. But my Chinese anvil was supposed to come today. It's coming tomorrow, so we'll see what that's like.
I love you.
Have you made anything on any anvil?
Yes, the other day, actually, I forged some, I had to forge some gate hardware.
Really?
Yeah, I used the rosebud to heat it up, I bent it in the vise, and I, like, put it back in place. I wanted to sharpen my corners, because they were, like, really, I overheated the corner, so when I bent it, instead of bending sharp, it bent, like, really round, you know? So I wanted to sharpen up the corner, so I grabbed it with my tongs, and I...
Nice.
Wow. Yep.
He used one of his 500 hammers...
Yep.
And one of
his 10 anvils. You know what the worst part about it was? The hammer that was closest to me was like a Harbor Freight ball peen hammer that I don't even know where it came from. Like, but it still had the Pittsburgh sticker on it. I was like, of all the shit I have, I'm using like the shittiest hammer that I own.
You're a nightmare.
Whatever. My life is very interesting.
It is.
You saw the steel that I got, my new steel collection. So
yeah, I just
my man.
I'll hear your voice, and then I'll hear my dad go, "Jesus, this kid's crazy." That's what I'll hear from the other. Look at what this kid's doing. He'll say because he follows him, so he watches everything. He's like, what is he doing with all these things? It's so funny.
I got like, that steel though was a good deal. I'll say that. The steel was a good buy.
Where are you gonna put all this?
It's all outside on a pallet. 1,500 pounds of plate. I paid, I don't know, let me see. Let me figure out how much it was per pound.
It's a great deal, I'm sure.
$0.10 a pound.
Deal.
10 yeah. cents a pound. You can't beat 10 cents a pound.
No.
For plate? Come on.
No.
What's next? What's next, yeah. Eric?
I don't know. Me going to bed, that's next.
Derek's going to bed. Paul, what's your next project?
I got to finish my door.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. How did it go when you flipped the jam over? We saw on Instagram that you had made the jam, but you had to flip it over to get the door in it to weld in the hinges.
I flipped it over. Of course, I welded all the hinges in upside down, so I had to
cut the hinges out.
It was. I was texting Jimmy because he's he DM'd me. He's like, that's how I'm gonna make the frame for my vault or safe door that he bought at Monger's. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I just welded every hinge on upside down. So I'm dying. I'm like, I'm about to jump off the building. I told him. And so I came back the next day, and I cut them back off and welded them on the right way. Now I just need to make the back the same exact frame, but that portion is going to get welded to that plate that I cut with my logo in it. That's going to get bolted to the floor from the inside of the building. The door that's on the frame now is going to come in from the outside of the building. They're going to meet in the middle. That flat bar is going to cover up the seam and act mm-hmm. as like the what's that part of the door, like the jamb or something,
the stop,
yeah. And so that's how that'll work. I got one of the world's biggest padlocks to put on the door. It weighs like 3 pounds.
I want to know what the lock picking lawyer, what did he say about it?
It's an extremely high security lock. It's a multi-lock, and I got Andrew's stamp of approval. He messaged me. He goes, I use these all the time. And he doesn't have one that big yet, he said. He's like, I don't have one that big yet, which I'm assuming means he probably ordered one. But
he had to get one.
I mean,
had to have it.
The key on that thing is I've never seen any keys like this. It has all these little like divots in it and lines. Like it is, I don't know how anyone would pick this. There's no one, you know, within 50 square miles of my shop that has the intelligence to pick this thing.
But couldn't you just cut the shackle?
That's what the thing with that. That would be easier. It'd be easier just to cut the whole lock mechanism.
What's the name of the lock?
It's a multi-lock. I mean, the shackle's a 5/8 hardened steel shackle. Like, it would be, like I said, it'd be easier to drive through the side of the building, like, than break through this door.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the video of him totally shitting on stuff here's lock?
Picked it in 2 seconds.
Too funny.
Brutal.
No.
Brutal.
No. I felt so bad.
Right?
But hey,
I can't. I'm honestly shocked that I don't know the guy from Stuff Made Here first name, whatever it is. I can't believe he wasn't more prepared. I just can't believe he got through it that easy. I don't know.
Yeah, no, but like you said, it was like, you know, like the first one, you know, like the, you know, moving it with the knife, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know. The kid's not a locksmith, so it's
true.
Like, you know,
it's so little complex. Stupid things. I was amazed that he was even able just to make a locking mechanism like that.
Yeah,
oh, it's unbelievable.
Come
yeah.
back even.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll come back stronger.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
it's a mental case.
He basically, from scratch, having no lock experience, made two pretty, you know, pretty good locks. Like, you know, there are whole companies that probably make shittier mm-hmm. locks than what he made. But still, this lock picking lawyer dude is like, he's legit.
Dude,
it's
just so
there's no
crazy,
getting by him.
Isn't it?
Next level.
I know.
It's unreal.
It's just amazing how he does it.
The only thing I was thinking about, though, was like, you know, did he, and maybe he explained this in the video. I watched the lockpicking lawyer's video, but now I can't remember. Did he try to pick them on the door before he took them off? Because because you know the one thing he did where he, like, put the shim behind the lock and, like, hooked
the,
like, if he didn't see the lock off the door, would he ever have been able to
I
do that?
I think he might have sent them both or something. I forget how he had seen them.
I don't honestly...
Or I don't remember.
Without prior knowledge of what a lock is, I think it's really hard, unless it's like a very basic lock, to just randomly figure out how to pick a lock. Like, especially like any type of advanced lock.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the only way he knows how to pick them is because he understands, like, he takes them apart and understands how to do it. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd be interested to like find out how many crimes the lockpicking lawyer has assisted. You know,
100%.
People probably, there's probably hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands.
Hot tub. That's how we.
That's how you pick the hot tubs. There you go.
We couldn't get in the hot tub, so we just unscrewed it from the floor. So, but you know, but the one for the hot tub is like there's two ways to pick it. One.
Yep.
You can just roll it, and then because it's like a master lock 175.
Yeah, it's called like decoding it.
Yeah,
when you like feel for the thing. Yeah,
that's all we use at work, and I was able to do it at work.
Where'd that was go? Weird. Yeah. I don't know. It just dropped off. But
yeah,
you were saying that you decoded locks at work.
Yeah, I've been able to do it at work, so I couldn't do it here. We just gave up. We just they just had an eye screwed into the ground, and we just unscrewed it and enjoyed the hot tub, but. You know, it's got way too much chlorine, though. It turns my shorts white.
That's so funny. Dude, yeah. they probably winterized that thing, and it's, like, just eating your skin. Like, it's probably not good to be...
Yeah, no. I have, like, a new layer of skin, which is great. Took all the hair off my body, but I'm going to put my beard underwater.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's funny. When I was working for that family, when I was, like... working on their estate, and there was we found a gun case that had belonged to the old manager of the estate, and it was really heavy. So I like before I opened it or tried to open it, I went to like the manager who was there. I was like, was this like Jonathan's? And she's like, oh, I guess so. And I'm like, do you have the key for it? Like, we should know what's in it, you know? Like, you should know if you have a gun case and you don't know if there's a gun in it, you need to open it, like, and know that there's whether or like. Absolutely. Something in there. So she's like, what do? We call the locksmith? I'm like, I don't know. Let me just mess with it. So I did that. I like put tension on the little button and I rolled the pins until I figured out what the code was.
Yeah.
And I opened it. It was empty. But I was thinking like it wasn't that hard to do. You know, it's like it's not that hard to get into like most locks. Do you know what a bump key is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You ever use the bump key?
No. But I know I've seen somebody
use it.
This kid's got everything.
I have them.
I swear to God, I remember I was with you one time. Like, oh, dude, I always keep a lockpicking set in my van. I'm like, what? Like, I have nothing.
You gotta.
Like, I have nothing on me. I have my keys, my wallet. I got, like, some Purell and maybe...
Some Purell, some rubbing alcohol.
And a wipe or something. That's all I got.
Dude, I got it all, dude.
My sister, her father-in-law passed away, and... He had a significant amount of money, very well off, and he had a couple safes, and they were out of state, and they had to pay a locksmith to come and crack the safe.
Mm.
So he's like, "Yeah, I'll be back next week to open it or whatever." He literally put this device on it. I have a video of it somewhere. I'll find it, and it literally clamps onto the dial.
I've heard of
that. And just keeps trying, like hundreds of thousands of.
Wow.
Combinations. Yeah, it just was automated. It suctioned or attached to the front of the safe, and it just held the dial. It was like just back and forth, and it's just crazy. And I was like, I don't know how it did it, but it did it. But they got it open. It cost her like $800 or $500. It was a lot of money, and there was two safes. One was empty though, but they had to open it. You know, they can't just leave it. You know.
Yeah, when I worked like as a handyman, a lot of times I would you can rekey a lock.
Yeah.
And like Paul, if you've never heard of it, so like if you don't want to change the locks on your door, you can just change the pins right to a different key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like when people would buy a house in Seacliff, a lot of times they'd have these antique doors with really nice hardware, so they would just want to change the lock. So through the hardware store that I was like, kind of working with. When any time someone would come in and say, "Hey, I just moved into this house. I want to rekey my locks," I would rekey them like through the store because he had like a master pin set. So, but every once in a while, you'd get to a door that they didn't. You need the key in order to turn the cylinder to rekey it. But if you don't have the key, you can pick the lock, turn the cylinder, and pull it out. So you can rekey a lock if you lose your keys to your house. You don't need to like buy a new lock. You can pick the lock open and then rekey it from that. So that's why we got the bump keys. But bump keys like are insane. Like Macklin's shop, he has like a rented unit and he's got like a nice like security master lock on it. You know, it's like one of those fat locks. I needed something out of it one day, and I told him I was going to get it. He was supposed to leave it open for me. Fucker didn't. Dude, in like maybe a minute with the bump key. No noise. It's like very quiet. Like no one would have known. I left my truck running because it was like 6 a.m. that I needed this. I needed the license plate for the trailer. So I didn't want anyone to hear me like hammering. So I just left my truck running. And within like literally a minute, the lock was open. No damage. He never would have known I was even in there. You know, yeah. It's crazy. And, you know, I feel like people don't pick their way into houses, you know, but maybe they do. Maybe that happens to people.
Yeah.
That's why you got to get a $300 multi-lock.
Is that how much that fucking lock was? I was going to ask you in the after show.
I ordered 6 keys with it. So each key was like $30 or something.
I was going to say, each key is a lot of money.
4 extra keys. Yeah. But, I mean, what are you going to do? I'd spend $1,000 if I knew my shop was secure. You know, I mean, all the shit that's in there, you know? All the tools.
Dude, they just drive right through the fucking door.
Yeah, I might even build, like, put a bar, like, across the inside. Boy. Like, you know, that happens in my dad's old shop. They drove right through the garage door.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's all.
I don't know.
So, all right, what do you guys
watching? Been watching? Well, yeah, what have you been watching?
I don't know.
Was going to say the Stuff Made Here video, but it was too disappointing.
Yeah.
It was impressive, but I was disappointed that they made it into it so easy.
I watched. You know the comedian Bo Burnham?
Yeah.
He's got a new Netflix special out.
Oh.
It's really good. He's like real eccentric, but like he did this whole special in one room. And for those who don't know, he does like comedy, but like with music. And he's like really super talented. Really funny.
He's hysterical,
And he's got this new special.
What's his name?
Bo Burnham. Dude.
He's like one of the original like internet creators. Yeah. Like he went viral on YouTube in like 2010, like before that was even like a thing.
Yeah, this was good. It was like
welcome to the internet.
Dude, that's it.
Yeah. That's the trailer for it. Yeah,
you
he's
gotta
hysterical.
See the song he does about
Dude, he did it 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm Bo Yo. Bo
he must
Burnham.
Have been 18 or something, because I think he just turned 30.
Dude, look at
that. Wow, yeah, dude.
Yeah. That was his first, like, viral video.
Dude, he's funny.
32 million views. He had a Comedy Central special. He's, like, pretty,
yeah,
I think
I
he's a pretty,
say,
like,
know,
established
I,
guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that name.
Yeah.
He's from Boston.
Yeah, he's from Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
So that's what he said, yeah.
I was going to say, I know I knew that name.
Yeah.
But... All right, I've been watching, I think, Men's Craft.
Like
man crafting?
No, Men's Craft. M-E-N-S Craft. I haven't watched any YouTube. I don't go on Instagram. I don't do anything.
Do you have an assistant that gives you the highlights?
I have my assistant do all that. He tells
gives
me
you the highlights,
it.
Right?
Yeah,
says,
he watches all the videos and he tells me about how cool they were.
Does he thumbs up them?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, me and Graves were saying it today. It's like, we're here for, like, another month, and I'm already bummed out. Like, it's going to be over. Dude, it's so, like, the honeymoon's over. It's so old hat. It's so tiring. I hate to even sound like I'm complaining, because believe me, I'm so lucky to be a part of this. It's the best thing that ever happened to me, so please don't message me and say I'm ungrateful. But it's a lot of work.
Please don't
fire. So hard. But it's just... Like, I'm so bummed out, like, that's going to be over. Like, and it may never, ever happen again.
And you have to go back to a regular life.
Yeah, actually, I may not have to. I got a phone call today. I may not have to. I'll tell you guys about later. But it's like, I'm like, wow, I can't believe this is going to be ending. Like, it's just so fucking good. I don't want it to end. But we'll see. We'll see. So, that's my pick.
That's your pick of the week.
Yeah, that's
craft.
It. That's as good as it gets for me.
I just watched. I guess I'll just go back to the old faithful of Jason from Fireball Tools.
Dude, that's what I was
going to
pick. I just started watching that.
It's such a cool video.
When I was eating my dinner, that's what I was watching.
Yeah,
I was going to pick that.
It's such a cool
machine.
The thing's
ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Gears on it and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't watched the whole thing. I was eating. I was like, oh, fuck, he sent the link.
Yeah, it's amazing. the second dude, like test he does. Dude, 5 horsepower
motor that controls like the bed.
Dude, when he says that, Paul, have you watched it?
No, I saw him like posting about it though. I saw an end mill that was like
50 horsepower.
He goes, oh, well, this machine, you know, first of all, it takes 100 amps, which is like a normal house's like main power, right? Christ. And then he goes, then he's like, this machine would have come with a 25 horsepower motor. And I'm expecting him to be like, I don't know what I was expecting him to say next. He goes, but this one's been upgraded to a 50 horsepower motor. And you're like, what?
That is crazy.
It's crazy. And the second thing,
50 horsepower,
right? The second thing being that when he uses the big end mill, it removed 13 pounds of material.
Holy shit.
Oh my God.
13 pounds of chips, I think is what it was. And a certain, he says how much time it took to remove that much. Like he does it's a two inch end mill. It takes 6 minutes to cut the bar and remove 13.5 pounds of steel.
Wow.
Just like roughing. Like
that's like 2 pounds that's so ridiculous. A minute.
Yeah.
2 pounds.
Yeah, 2 pounds a minute.
That's crazy. Yeah.
He has a 125-pound block of steel that he's like just taking cuts out
just
of.
Just for fun.
Just to see what it can do. And he, and the machine has a little motor load dial. And while he's making like the heavy cut, the dial isn't even reading past zero because the machine is like not even phased
so
at all.
What the hell are you supposed to do with it if that's nothing? Like what could you possibly even do with that thing?
I guess the difference though is
whatever
that he's
want.
Running. I mean, when he was doing the big fly cutter, he's running carbide, which when that machine was made, it was made in like the 40s.
Yeah.
Like you were just running off of a tool that some guy like cut in the shop.
Gotcha.
You know, like a tool that a guy like ground. Like or reground. If it was during the war effort, like they were literally probably just regrinding anything they could find.
Yeah.
So you have to imagine that the tooling probably sucked compared to like the engineered shit that we have now. That's just unbelievable. I love the drawbar is so long. You'll see it when you watch the video, Paul. That while he's loosening it, he can't reach the tool holder. So he's like, as he's loosening it, he's got one hand, like his arms are fully outreached between the drawbar and the tool. He's standing on the bed of the machine.
God.
Yeah,
wow.
it's pretty
like
cool.
An 8 foot bed.
Yeah, or something like that.
That's cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, it's cool. He's got the coolest shit. He's got like, you know, like the dream shop. You know,
yeah.
I mean, what more could you like? Literally, what more could you want?
That's what I like. I appreciate like Andrew, for example, but like, I wouldn't be the type of person to get like 1,000 of one thing and just like have them sit there. Like, I would be like Jason, where I'd get like the best mill, the best lathe, the best, you know, all like one of everything that I would use. That's like just the best. Like, that's what's cool about him, and he uses it all, and, like, each thing is, you know, functioning. Like, it's pretty amazing.
He's so smart, too.
Oh, yeah, that guy's smart.
He just knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I still can't figure out how he makes the two ends meet, but he's got something going.
Dude, these Fireball Squares selling like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Dude, he would have to sell so many fucking Fireball Squares.
He does.
He probably does. They're like $200
maybe.
Each. They're, I mean,
he sells them to.
They can't be cheap to make though. He has them cast in the States.
Yeah,
you
know,
it's not like he's having them made in China.
He sells them to Patrick Adair.
Yeah, he turns them into rings. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know much about that guy. But that guy's making some serious money. He buys like a new car.
Rings.
Yeah, somewhere.
I mean,
fucking
rings.
I know.
What does he charge for rings?
He's like, he's doing something else than rings. I'm like, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Maybe he hit the lottery.
Maybe.
He could have used his first year's ring profits to buy Bitcoin, and he could have $20 million.
Doge,
you know, like
$40 million.
You don't know.
Maybe
he
was worth
Doge,
millions of dollars before he turned his first ring. Who knows?
Exactly.
Did you see,
you don't know.
Exactly.
Speaking of crypto, we're gonna go take it back to crypto. Tim Dillon was at the Bitcoin conference. He was doing
a talk
on Bitcoin with like the Winklevoss twins and Jake.
No, he
Paul.
Wasn't.
Yeah,
is he a big bit? Is he a big
no,
Bitcoin guy?
No, he just
guy?
Went up there because it was like funny. Like he's just kind of making fun of everybody. But I met the Winklevoss twins' father because they're bigger. They were like Olympic rowers, and I used to row. And so I don't know why we were there.
I don't even know who that is.
They're the two goofy guys.
Yeah, those two big. They're the ones who that little prick Zuckerberg kind of stole Facebook from. They went to Zuckerberg and were really? Like, "Hey, we have this idea." He's like, "Oh, awesome! Let me just take that and steal it from you guys and make $100 billion." But
hey, the name's Finkelbaus,
something like that.
Is,
yeah,
you know? It's like, yeah, it's like, why not?
But
they used to it.
I don't know. So,
whatever.
Interesting.
But
they look like they were made in a lab.
Patreon.
Who did?
I said, don't forget to follow me on Patreon.
Don't forget to support. Listen, I just paid the renewal for the podcast for the next year.
Shit.
So you got to get on to our Patreon and
That's
support
right.
the pay. Every episode Please. Of the podcast costs us $700 to $800 to produce. With the lights, we have Paul's hair budget.
Yeah.
Derek's got his beard guy
Cleaning.
There working on
yeah.
his beard. He's
yeah.
got the cleaner.
Yeah.
So every one of these episodes is one... We're one episode away from all of us going hungry, so check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/handmadepodcast, derekfromalden.patreon.org, patreon.com/makeeverythingshop. If you need a staircase,
yeah.
call Paul
Fairfield
Pinto.
Steelworks.
Fairfield Steelworks.
I saw some rough edits, and I'm not very far from I'm very, very far from starving. Man, the camera puts like 50 pounds on you, I think. Holy fuck.
Hey, listen, Aaron stopped eating like 8 months ago in preparation for this, and now you know why.
No, I told Jimmy, all we have to do is lose the weight before our first appearance, because everybody's going to see how fat we are on the show, and then they're going to be like, look how skinny they are. There's
yeah.
no way they were that big.
Yeah, couldn't
yeah.
have been them.
Oh, my God. Aside you, I'm like Prego. Like, it's like, we've been wearing like overshirts. It's like, I can't do it anymore. Friggin' heat exhaustion. And die.
Well, we'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening, Jeff.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.